If you live in rural Nevada, there's a good chance that getting health care can be a problem for you. In an emergency, there may be no hospital nearby. Just getting routine checkups and screenings may mean a very long drive. Rural areas have fewer doctors and dentists, and some specialists might not be available at all. And over the course of this conversation, we're going to want to hear from you if you live in a rural part of Nevada, if you live in places near, say, Nye, Elko, White Pine counties, rural parts of Clark County, if you have had to deal with some of these challenges of getting medical care. We'll want to hear from you. I'll give you the number right now. It's 702-258-3552. That's 702-258-3552. You can also post your story on our website at knprnews.org, and we're on Twitter, too. You can tweet us anytime at knprnews. So we're going to talk with some guests who also understand the problems of delivering health care in rural parts of the country, and including rural Nevada. In a few minutes, we're going to talk with Maggie Elwani, who is Vice President of Government Relations and Policy at the National Rural Health Association, and Marie Chagog, who is Director of Health Programs at the Lindsay Institute. But we're going to begin with Rita Million, who is the post-licensure director of nursing at Nevada State College in Henderson. Rita Million, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
You moved to Las Vegas in June after spending some time in rural Iowa and Missouri, and I'm curious to get your take with fairly fresh eyes on this. What are some of the healthcare challenges facing residents in the rural Midwest, and how do they compare to what you're seeing here?
I think there are some similarities, definitely, because we have our rural areas in the Iowa and Missouri area. I think Iowa's done a fairly good job of having satellite outreach to be able to reach out to the community. But as far as hospitals and specialists, we have the same issues back in Iowa and Missouri, having those available to the rural population.
What are the difficulties facing doctors and nurses in those areas?
Well, I think part of the problem is we do have a great need for specialists. We lack that. It's difficult, too, because they can make greater salaries if they are in an urban area. So to get a specialist to work in a small town is more difficult. Typically, what we did see in the Iowa and Missouri area is that the specialists would do, like, outreach. So they would have a clinic in one town, a small town, and then one in another town, which they would maybe see once a month.
When medical care is much less accessible, when you're maybe an hour or two or more away, how does this impact patients? What's the difference that you see in patients who've had to travel a great distance?
Typically, what you're going to see is a patient who puts off seeing anybody for their condition. They're going to, if they start with a cough and maybe body aches, things like that, they're going to just kind of live with it, so to speak, instead of seeking medical care. So then it's going to potentially snowball. And by the time they do make it to a physician, it could be a much serious condition.
So it can create some additional problems.
Exactly. And not only for the patient, who is my primary concern, but actually for the overall healthcare system, because we're looking at a higher cost of medical care, which might have been less if they had gotten the care in the beginning.
So how do you talk people in rural communities into getting to the doctor sooner?
It's a very difficult thing because life goes on for these people. They still work. If you're a farmer in the Midwest, for example, I had a neighbor who was a farmer. He would put it off because he said, I cannot take the time away from my farm to drive an hour to see a doctor. As he would always say, I have to do it on their time. It's never convenient for me. So that's just one example of that.
Did you notice higher rates of illnesses like cancer or diabetes in rural Iowa and Missouri?
It's interesting. I was on the Mills County Public Health in Iowa, and every time the statistics would come out for the state, we would notice we had a larger mortality rate. Some of that's due to being in the rural area and the rural farm accidents, things of that nature. But overall, we did have higher mortalities, and you do see that in your more rural areas.
Now, in your role with Nevada State College, in your experience in the Midwest, healthcare challenges like this have impacted you too.
Talk
about that a little bit. How's it affected you personally?
Well, for one, it's made me more aware of the fact that we have to get the providers out there into the community. We have to somehow facilitate them so that they will work in those rural communities, not just visit once a month, but to live there. Because if you live in the community, you understand it better. and you're better able to address problems before they become huge. So for me, that's one of the reasons I chose education, so that I can make a difference with nurses.
We are talking about healthcare in rural areas, and we're wondering from you if you've got questions about healthcare available in rural Nevada. Do you want to know how to get to the services that are available, or wonder whether you're going to have to travel to Las Vegas or Reno for a physical or for routine tests? If you've got questions or some thoughts about rural healthcare, call us at 702-258-3552. That's 702-258-3552. And you can also write to us at knprnews.org. I'm going to turn now to Maggie Elwani, who is Vice President of Government Relations and Policy at the National Rural Health Association. Maggie, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much.
So how did we get here? It seems like there hasn't been a commitment to train healthcare workers to replace aging rural employees. How did all of this happen?
Well, it's been going on for a long time. Certainly longstanding systemic workforce shortages in rural areas, really, really from day one. And Congress and at a state level as well have been working to try to improve it, but we have a long way to go. There was a lot of promise in healthcare reform, but hasn't been fully realized yet. What you're dealing with really, and I think Nevada can showcase that quite nicely, is you've got 20% of the population in this country live in rural America, yet that's scattered over 90% of the landmass. So you have a whole bunch of just physical difficulties in trying to get care and have patients be able to access care in these areas. At the same time, you've got that 20% of the population, you only have 9% of the physicians who actually practice in rural America. So it's just been a long problem.
So why don't doctors and nurses want to work in rural parts of Nevada and of the country generally?
Well, there's a host of different reasons, and a lot of it has to do basically with their training back in medical school. There is a heavy emphasis on specialty care, and there certainly are shortages in rural areas in specialty care. There's also a great, great demand for primary care, which medical schools often don't focus enough on, in our opinion. Also, it's really about where a physician trains, where he or she does the residency program, and there really aren't enough rural training tracks. Getting doctors out of that urban-based medical facility and have them go and practice and learn their craft in a rural setting. Study after study indicates if you can do that, if you can expand these residency programs to rural areas, more likely than not, that physician is going to stay in that rural community. And also a lot of it has to do with kind of growing your own, kind of developing rural communities starting at early levels, maybe even as early as grade school, and have them focus on sciences and have them build an interest in medicine. If we can get kids from rural communities to be interested in medicine, again, the studies show more likely than not, they're going to go back to that rural community. And there's been a lot of success stories with something called AHECs, Area Health Education Centers, that really try to do that, to foster kids in an early level to get interested in medicine.
How much of a factor is money?
Oh, money is everything. A lot of it has to do with something called the Graduate Medical Education, which is primarily based out of the Medicare program. Which always has challenges in funding, and there's always a big fight in Congress over whether that program should be expanded or not. Just this week, the Institute of Medicine came out with a significant study saying, you know what, Congress, you really should rethink the way you're spending money on graduate medical education. So much of patient care these days is outpatient care. It's not hospital-based care. We need to get these residents out in communities and have community-based care. We strongly support that, especially if they're done in a rural setting.
Does the support for AHECs break in Congress along what I guess you would say is stereotypical lines between liberal and conservative? Does it break over issues of spending money?
It hadn't in the past. Mm-hmm. It was supported on a strong bipartisan basis, but because a lot of the expansion or proposals for expansion has a footprint now in the Affordable Care Act, the ACA, then yes, that has really been, funding for that has significantly been cut back due to the partisan treatment of health care reform on Capitol Hill. So a lot of health care reform was built in and was paid for due to some cuts to providers and some other tax increases. But another significant force, something that really focused on trying to address workforce shortages, was left up to the place in Congress where they write the checks, the Appropriations Committee. That funding really has been treated as in a partisan way and really has been unfunded. There was a push in the health care reform bill to address primary care shortages, a significant expansion of the National Health Service Corps, which really tries to place medical students as well as nurses and other types of health care providers in underserved areas with a promise of really doing great things in rural communities. That funding was never realized due to the partisan fight to the ACA. There was more increases in area health education centers, those AHECs. Again, not fully funded because of partisan politics. There was also a lofty study to really look at these workforce shortage issues and really address them. That was all also part of health care reform that wasn't funded.
That part of it was not funded either. If you have questions about health care available in rural Nevada, if you've got some thoughts about the subject or if you want to know what services are available, call us. We're at 702-258-3552. That's 702-258-3552. You can also write to us at knprnews.org. Miguel joins us from Las Vegas now. Miguel, thanks for calling and welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me. What the last caller just talked about is, I'm just repeating what she's saying basically in a nutshell. It's worth the finances to have little practitioners come out and visit the farms themselves, like the old-fashioned trap doctor that we had of yesteryear. It's cost-effective because it's a preventive care. It's like what we have here in Las Vegas, where they go to Walgreens or other stores, and they have a nurse practitioner or doctor come out and check out preliminary checkups and say, there could be something wrong, we can go find out better on through a hospital, what have you. But emergency or initial care, it would be good preventive medicine.
Rita Million, is this something that you've had any experience with, having the doctor, in effect, go to visit the patients rather than the other way around?
In a sense, because they do go to those communities, at least they're reaching out and they have an established office where these individuals who live in the rural communities can actually come and they build a relationship with them. And so they don't have to go to the city. That was one of the models that they used in Iowa, that you would have these satellite offices. I'd also like to say that you talked about preventative care, which is different from the chronic care or the acute care. And I think that's a big point that we miss too, that physicians and nurses need to be doing more preventative care out there in the community. We've kind of shunned that in some ways, but we do need to grasp that and say if we prevent as many illnesses as possible, we can make a bigger difference.
When you lived in rural Iowa and Missouri, was that kind of service where the doctor would, in effect, pay a house call, was that available to you?
We didn't have that. Mm-hmm. We did not have where the physician would actually make the house call, although I think it's a wonderful model. I wish it could happen today.
But it wasn't available.
But it wasn't there, no.
What would have stood in the way of that? I mean, was it just simply logistics? Was it money? Or was it a combination?
Probably a combination of both. Mm-hmm. It's difficult to make home visits, for one. And I think physicians, to be able to do that in a rural community, you're going to be driving. You know, remember the doctor with the buggy and the horse? Well, now it would be in a car, but it would be over big miles, too.
We are also joined by Marie Shagog, who is Director of Health Programs at the Lindsay Institute. Marie, welcome back to KNPR.
Thank you.
Great to be here. One of the things that I suspect this may circle around to is the notion of a medical school. You know, that's been talked about at UNLV for some time. And with an eye toward improving healthcare in rural parts of Nevada, what kind of a role could a UNLV medical school play in that?
I think it's there's a number of roles. One, with expanding medical education, having a med school here, and addressing the rural areas of the South, it would allow opportunities for both partnership that could hopefully deliver some health care via telemedicine, which has been growing and found to be successful in other areas that have large rural areas, such as like Texas. Texas Medical Center in Houston has a very large telemedicine center that it doesn't take care of all of it, but it does help address some of the more immediate problems mm-hmm. and helps kind of triage patients so they can get better and timely care.
You had alluded to the idea of having the med school here. Mm-hmm. Why would you say it should be here as opposed to perhaps someplace like Elko or Pahrump or some such place?
Mostly population-based mm-hmm. and experience. So when the base one is population. Mm-hmm. We have about 2.3 million people that live in the state of Nevada. About 2.1 live in Clark County. So we have the biggest deficit for both health care and health care provision, but also we have the people. So when you're training doctors, you want them to have a wide array of experiences. The chances of getting that right array is much more likely here than if they were in some place like Pahrump.
What's the root cause, from your perspective, for the problem of providing medical care in rural communities in Nevada? What underlies that?
I would say that it's not just Nevada. Mm-hmm. Rural communities by far have a challenge in receiving health care because they don't have that mecca of services that are offered in a common place. And that's across the country. One of the things that makes it a little bit more challenging here is that we don't have a network of federally qualified health care centers. They're called FQHCs. Mm-hmm. In many rural areas, they have those clinics that provide health care on a sliding scale and that then create a network. There is some that are up north. There's only two federally qualified health care centers that operate in Southern Nevada, and those both mainly are here in Las Vegas.
So what is, from a practical perspective, what is keeping us from being able to solve this problem? I mean, what are the speed bumps right now to better health care in rural parts of the state?
Well, I would say one is it's supply and demand. So the demand is so high, and even here, that it takes even longer for it to trickle out to the rural areas where there's less demand because just there's less people. I would say that there's also a challenge in the idea there's been a stymie for quite some time with the credentialing and licensing of Nevada, whereas they don't make it very easy for doctors that have been licensed or practicing somewhere else to come to Nevada and practice in a timely fashion. It can sometimes take, I've heard stories that it's taken up to 6 to 8 months to get them licensed to practice here. So if you're a doctor practicing in one place and you choose to move to Nevada, you have to be able to say, well, I can take 6 months off from having income. And most, I would say, that live in the United States probably don't have that ability. So that also proves to stymie because if there was a doctor who was a specialist in, let's say, rural medicine and wanted to come practice here, then and they didn't finish their residency here, then they can't come. Then it, you know, they have to have that waylay period. And so it's either they're practicing there and it makes it very difficult and challenging.
We are talking about the availability and quality of health care in rural Nevada. Do you live in towns like Tonopah, Panaca, Elko, Ely? Have you run into problems seeing a doctor locally, or have you had to travel quite a distance to Las Vegas or Reno to get the care you need? And are you a doctor providing a rural medical care? If you are, we want to hear from you. Tell us what your workload is like and what it's like providing care in places where there aren't a lot of people living right now. Call us at 702-258-3552. That's 702-258-3552. Or write to us at knprnews.org. Rita Million, you have said that the difference in salary is a big problem between rural and suburban healthcare workers. What kind of difference in pay are we talking about, and how do hospitals get past that if they're in less populated areas?
I don't think there's a good way to say how to solve that problem. And I can't give you a firm number, but I know it can be anywhere from $10, $15 difference an hour for some nurses, if not more. It just depends on where they're working in a rural environment. I do know, though, that nurses who work in the rural community and want to stay in that community will do that no matter what they're paid. But to get new nurses to go out to the rural community can be difficult because that's not going to be a good how do you give up what you're making to go to someplace where you're going to make a lot less?
So what are the consequences of that very question? What happens as a result?
What happens is we don't have as many nurses, and we may lose nurses. But I think the additional problem isn't just the money that the nurses make in the rural environment. It's the fact that they may have a higher patient load compared to in the urban towns where you may have more nurses available so you can have a lower patient load. So what I'm talking is if a nurse has four patients on a med-surg unit in an urban city, and then in a rural town and a small hospital, they may have six or seven patients. So it's also that load that they're carrying. That's difficult to do.
Nevada State College has partnered with Truckee Meadows Community College in Reno to train more nurses. Talk a little bit about the program, and what do you hope to achieve by partnering with a community college?
Well, actually, what we're partnering with Truckee is I have the RN to BSN program. They're actually training the nurses to be registered nurses with an associate degree. And then those nurses, we're making it a smoother path for them to achieve their Bachelor of Science in Nursing. Statistics have shown that nurses who have a bachelor's degree, and you have a large number of them in the hospital on their med-surg units, you have better patient outcomes. So right now the push is to provide a easy flow for these nurses with associate degrees to get their bachelor's.
Are you hoping that once more nurses graduate with bachelor's degrees, that they will stay in rural Nevada instead of looking for opportunities in Reno and Las Vegas?
That would be our hope. That's definitely our hope. But I think also at Nevada State College, because we believe in, for one, community health nursing, that we're infusing some of that rural into our curriculum as we're teaching the students. So they're more aware of the needs out there and actually the benefits of practicing in a small community too.
Maggie Owani, what can be done to close that pay gap that we were talking about just a moment ago to perhaps make it a matter of decent pay in rural areas for healthcare providers so that they don't have to either think of it as a big sacrifice or they're not so tempted to look at larger cities?
Well, that has to be done by Congress in large part. The disparities are basically the difference between being reimbursed for primary care and specialty care. And those Medicare payment rates are all done by Congress. Congress did try to move to advance and increase some reimbursement levels in primary care as part of health care reform, but those increases were very temporary, only for a finite period of time, and actually expire in 2015. So Nevada is interesting because the Medicaid enrollment, and you're actually making national news on this, is exceeding expectations. I think that's really going to see, we're going to see exacerbated as a result of that, the primary care shortage, especially in rural areas. And we have to remember that population is older, poorer, and sicker.
Help us understand, too, the National Health Service Corps. That is a program that's designed to address problems and shortages in rural areas too, right?
It absolutely is, and it's a great program and is doing wonderful things in underserved areas, both urban underserved areas as well as rural underserved areas.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell us a little bit about what it does.
Well, what it does is it's both a scholarship program and a loan repayment program. So you can go in and help get your loans, your expensive loans for medical school or nursing school. You can get that repaid at a low rate, or you can get them, or you can get low loans to go to school if you agree to go out and practice for a certain period of time in those underserved areas. So it really tries to match up students who are interested in going to rural areas and also might have financial difficulty in going to medical school or nursing school. It's a wonderful program, has a great success level. we would love to see it expanded. But unfortunately, Congress right now, at this time, doesn't want to spend the money on expanding the program. Mm.
We are talking about the availability and quality of health care in rural Nevada, and we want to hear from you. If you live in rural Nevada, if you are a medical professional in rural Nevada, tell us how the system is working for you, where the shortfalls are and where the opportunities are. Call us at 702-258-3552. That's 702-258-3552. You can also write to us at our website. Our website is knprnews.org. That's knprnews.org. Maria Shagog, you've said Nevada ranks at the bottom in attracting the funding it needs for healthcare programs. What programs suffer the most from that lack of funding?
Well, first I would say that there's a couple things I want to say. First, the Public Health Service also provides opportunities for pharmacists as well. And it also provides that same opportunity for Native American lands, where pharmacists, new doctors, and nurses can actually live on the different lands or the reservations and provide health care there. So they become almost part of the community, which is really a nice model. And also federal qualified health care centers, they in rural areas provide a loan repayment program as well for doctors and nurses. So that's some of the ways that the federal government has tried to. Federally qualified healthcare centers have a higher Medicaid and Medicare reimbursement level because it's expected that they have a higher load of those who are poor and underserved. So therefore, they get a little bit more money and are able to provide more services. And the most successful centers offer wraparound services. So they include everything from just your primary care to dental, vision, PT, OT, pharmacy, and there's programs inside the system of federally qualified healthcare centers to help provide all of those as well.
So what strategies can rural Nevada communities use to help to reduce and address the shortage of healthcare workers?
I think that there one is a loan repayment program of sorts where both all across the board, because we know that in the state of Nevada, we also have a shortage of mental health workers as well. So we're talking about getting the social workers, all of the clinicians to the area via incentive of a loan repayment program. I think there's also opportunity, as I said, for telemedicine, where not all of it is done directly, but it's done remotely. And then I also think that with the change in the law that occurred last year, that went into effect July of last year, allowing nurse practitioners to practice independently out from under the auspices of physicians, that they could have the opportunity to also provide care as well.
Rena Million, when you were at the University of Nebraska, you were kind of on the front line of rural health care in that position. What did you see there that you think could be taken, used, and maybe put to work for rural residents everywhere?
Well, what I can say from the nursing department at the University of Nebraska Medical Center, they actually did outreach, and they've actually made campuses in all of their the different areas of Nebraska. So on the far western end in like Scotts Bluff and Grand Island, and in the northern section in Norfolk, they've opened campuses. And what they've done is they're creating nurses in their homes in those communities. And again, with that model, if you teach them in their home setting, you have a better chance of keeping them there. And they also have their physicians as part of their practice. Before they become a physician, they have the opportunity to go out to these communities because they have clinics there for them to actually practice. And that goes back to what we were saying earlier, that if you get them into that community and they're more aware of it, you have a better chance of having them practice there.
Hmm. Maria Shagog, the rural towns in Nevada are all around us. Laughlin is not quite as rural as towns like Ely or Tonopah, but there are about 6,000 residents there. UMC closed its quick care facility recently. Now the area's got one doctor. Is this becoming a trend with larger suburban hospitals closing the outlying of the satellite clinics?
It's actually odd that you say that. One of the big movements that both the Affordable Care Act encouraged was creating more place-based medicine, patient-centered care, where the medicine goes to the patient. If you look at a lot of the, and decentralizing medicine where it can be, it's not necessarily financially feasible to, say, decentralize surgery. It needs to happen because of the environment that has to be created to ensure safety and reduce the chance of infection. But certainly for primary care and for pediatrics, there has been an explosion of more, even in churches. Some of the churches in rural areas have small clinics now. And it does, and it's almost like the churches that I think of in rural areas where the minister travels around, where they have doctors that do the same thing. I know that in North Carolina, as a matter of fact, they have doctors who are doing their residencies in urban or peri-urban areas, but they spend time. They're required to spend time on some of the native lands or reservations during that time. They do make it easier for them. They offer them a room in a house that the hospital has access to. And they go out there for the week, mm-hmm. and they live there. And so that gives them both the experience of doing practicing rural medicine, but it also provides care for those who live in that area, mm-hmm. in a more accessible area.
In our final 45 seconds or so, when the legislature meets in Carson City next year, what's the first thing they should do in the area of rural health care? Or should they just not try to do anything?
That seems like a loaded question.
It might seem that way. It's not, well, not meant that way.
I will
way,
say
but.
That the first thing they need to do is they need to make sure that they have made it making practicing in the state of Nevada accessible by removing some of the current blockages that allow people that are licensed in other places to come here. That's the first thing. I think then they need to fully fund a medical school, and the medical school then can also create structures such as maybe healthcare centers in those rural areas. And if not immediately that, then certainly telemedicine. So I think it's time that the state of Nevada as a state, put money, serious money, towards education and healthcare in a holistic manner. Mm-hmm. It's not one or either or. It's kind of a all.
It's all of it.
Mm-hmm.
Maria Shigalkas, Director of Health Programs at the Lindsay Institute. Rita Million is Post-Licensure Director of Nursing at Nevada State College. And Maggie Elwani is Vice President of Government Relations and Police at the National Rural Health Association. Thank you all for being with us today.